The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Wednesday, March 8th, 2023, season 18, episode numbered 119. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Glad to have my crew in, all of us, today. And we'll spend the next 45 minutes talking to you guys about free agency. There's a lot coming up here that the Cowboys are going to have to make decisions on. Free agency will begin on March 15th, although the period of, I'm not going to call it legal tampering. It's just kind of that period where you can start flirting a little bit with the players that you might be interested in from a free agency standpoint. That begins on the 13th. It'll run through the 15th, and then at 3 p.m. Central Time, free agency will kick off. Today's show, we're going to go through the list of free agents and talk a little bit about the guys that we think the Cowboys need to make priorities, the guys that can just be a nice to have, and the guys that maybe you think is just no longer a fit. Before we do that, though, I want to talk about Tony Pollard. We talked about him at length last week and what the Cowboys should do. Since then, we found out they have done something. They put the tag on Tony Pollard. I don't think it's a surprise, but I wanted to go around the table and just get your thoughts on the decision to place the tag on Tony Pollard. Brian, you weren't – were you on the show last week?
I was in Arizona watching.
You weren't on the show, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go first with you, because I know Nick and Amber talked a little bit about it last week.
Yeah, I feel like they did what they had to do and what they felt like was right for their offensive attack going forward. You know, we talked about weapons. Nick has brought it up numerous times on the show about – the situation with Pollard, once he went down in the San Francisco game, their offense wasn't the same. And so now, even with a new, you know, primary play caller, the head coach being that guy, you know, you got that situation where he's like thinking, okay, how am I going to incorporate? How am I going to move the ball? What do I need? You know, likely losing Dalton Schultz, likely, you know, with some of the things, some of the unknowns with, you know, with Gallup coming back and all that. One of the sure things you do know about is what Tony Pollard can do. Yes, he's coming off the injury, but I think it was the right thing for them to do. I know I have my own other thoughts about, you know, maybe with the injury, maybe let that one ride and see if, in fact, somebody would come in and you know, take a chance on him, give him a contract. But for them, they did what they felt like was right. I know myself evaluating the free agent market or the running backs and then also what's going in the college draft. If you were to lose Tony Pollard, there are suitable replacements. Maybe comparable to what you had with Tony. You know, maybe not, depending on which direction you go. But for them, they felt like they had to keep that weapon in the building. And you know, you have to give them credit for, you know, trying to do that and be able to, you know, to continue to try and help Dak.
AG.
I think it was the right decision. And we've talked about it before. It doesn't prevent them from still trying to come up with the contract and keep the negotiations going with him and working that out. We've talked about the injury before. That is a concern of mine. And another thing is it always makes me a little bit uneasy because I feel like anytime you either extend a contract, give a new contract, or even place a tag, anything that involves a new amount of money involving a player, there's always that, are they going to meet the expectations now? And I know this is not, the franchise tag does not mean a long-term contract or anything. This is just for a year. But even so, with that injury alone, it does give me that kind of worrisome. It's like, is it going to be worth the money? Is it going to be worth taking that risk of having him here and trying to rely on him, also not knowing what's going to end up happening with Ezekiel Elliott? I said this from the beginning. It's hard to imagine a scenario where they do keep both guys on the team. So it's just, I'm glad it happened, and I agree with their decision to place the tag on him. But at the same time, there are concerns and worrisome around that decision and how he's going to be this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you give the franchise tag to anybody unless you have some concerns. I mean, I think that's why you give them the tag. I mean, because you have concerns. Because if you didn't have concerns, you would just sign them to a long-term deal and meet whatever they're asking for. So either you need to see them one more year, or you don't know if you can sign them to a long-term thing. I mean, I think the Cowboys had concerns with Dalton Schultz last year to give him the money that, you know, David Njoku got, you know, and I don't know if it's worth it, you know, and I don't think they thought it's worth it, and they still don't think that, you know, for that market. But if you look at all the franchise tags, it's the cheapest franchise tag of a position player, running back. It's the second most important position, maybe, but yet it's the cheapest one. So there's reason, and you can take that argument any way you want. I just think it makes sense this year to do that, and then, and as Brian says, you still draft someone. But the key about drafting a running back is if you go back and look at history, and there's examples for everything. First-round running backs, I think, do well early because that's why you draft them, because they're ready to play right now. But I think second, third, fourth, fifth-round running backs, some of them come in and do well, but I think that they need a little development as well. I mean, Tony Pollard wasn't ready to kind of take over like he is now. So I think it works out in this case. You still draft someone second, third, fourth round, and then, you know, they'll be ready to go because you don't know what's going to happen with Pollard after this. Probably won't come back after this. This is what I would think would be the last year.
Yeah, I totally agree with what Nick and Ambar are saying about this. But the thing is that with Pollard, I kind of look at this like Dalton Schultz. Mm. Like you're keeping a guy around. They, you know, they just couldn't get rid of all their weapons when they got rid of Amari Cooper. And we didn't know what with Pollard that he was going to emerge like he was. There was questions about Gallup. You know, if you all of a sudden you let Dalton Schultz walk last year and stuff, or just, you know, you move on from that, well, then, you know, it's one of those situations where you're kind of in a, you know, you're like, where's the weapons? Who's Dak going to throw the ball to? How are they going to move the ball? How are they going to score and all that? So, yeah, I just think that Pollard, it's one of those things that, you know, I don't think they want to – I think they've learned something from the – Elliott situation. I do. The league doesn't value running backs like it should. But there's going to be a point in time where, you know, you're going to have, if when you don't have one of these guys, it's going to show up in a game. You know, look at Tampa Bay. Look at their situation with Leonard Fournette. It just, he had
a similar thing about Buffalo.
Yeah, it just got to the point where when you can't run the ball, you know, your offense gets put in peril. And the one thing we learned about Pollard is he's capable of taking the snaps and being able to function. But I do love these running backs. And, again, I encourage you to stay afterwards and listen to the draft show because there's a lot of them you can talk about and a lot of them that do a lot of the similar things that they asked Tony Pollard to do.
So let's toss that up just as a general question of what comes next because there are lots of offshoots of this move. You know, do they do a long-term deal with him? What's Zeke's future, and how does that play into the decision to tag Tony Pollard? Right now I saw a graphic that I think the Cowboys are
$28 million.
$28 million right now dedicated to the running back position. I don't think any of us believes they're going to go into next fiscal year with that being the case, but it now puts some question marks on Zeke's future. Talking about what is the effect on the draft and should they draft somebody and how high are they willing to draft somebody knowing that they have Tony Pollard on the tag. And the final thought, what's the usage of Tony Pollard next year? If let's assume for a second that this does affect what they decide to do with Zeke and maybe Zeke isn't here. Is Pollard a primary back? Can he take the load of a primary back? Can he do the things that Zeke was asked to do for a long time in his career? When you're paying him $10 million for a year, maybe he needs to. All those things. I'm just going to toss it up, and you guys take it in the direction you'd like to take it.
Wow. Zeke, I mean, that's the big question. They got to figure that out with Zeke. And I think that me personally, I just don't see a scenario that he's here. I don't. But I don't know him, what he's trying to do and how much he wants to be here and for what price. But I can't see that scenario. This is a really tricky situation because I don't think Tony Pollard is a starting running back. I don't. I think he works out the way they have got this thing working. I think it works good for him. So I would draft another running back, and I think that running back would probably be the starter. I think where Pollard fits. But you want to say $10 million, could you do that? Yeah, you can. Look at what backup quarterbacks make. They make a lot of money. So you can have it as in this role like this, but I just don't think Zeke can be here on this team the way it's set up. I could be wrong, but that's going to be because he's taking a lot less money than I think he's ready to do.
Explain it to me for just a second. When you say you don't think he's a starter, are you talking more about the number of reps that he can take, or is there a delineation between a starter and a backup that you're kind of making?
No, I think he's one of the top 10, 15 running backs in the league. I think he's a top talent. He's definitely that. But I believe in what Skip Pete was trying to do last year. I think that there's a Zeke comes in and he kind of hammers him down, and then Pollard comes in. I don't think it works the other way. I don't think that way. I don't.
You're saying you don't think it starts with the speed guy or the elusive guy.
No,
you
think it needs to start with Pollard's the role is perfect.
Gotcha.
And there needs to be another guy that handles what Zeke did. That's what I think.
I think there's some football fibbing going on here, not with you, but with what the Cowboys are doing right now. I think they're talking about the football fibbing is Mike McCarthy's like, we got to run the ball more. I think that's football fibbing. And I say that in a way, Mike McCarthy doesn't have a history of running the football more. He just doesn't. Go back and watch. You know, I think he's trying to say that, you know, well, I'd like to run the ball, but he really isn't. He's going to throw the ball. So now to me, that is, I'm okay with that. I feel like, though, you need to run the ball better. Not more. Run the ball better. And so that's kind of where I think football fibbing's going on here. And, you know, with Pollard, I think he can run the ball better. I think the more opportunities he does get, they'll run the ball better. I think having Terrence Steele back at right tackle will run the ball better. You know, I think if you add a tight end, a blocking tight end, with the tight ends you have, I think you'll run the ball better. You know, that's kind of where I look at with what I see with Pollard. I think he's here to run the ball better. You know, the more carries, it just the way he plays, you're going to get more yards with him running the football. And so I think that's a football fib. You just need to not run it more. You just need to run it better is what I see right there.
Let me ask this question, because I've heard a couple different people with that particular argument. And I think it's coming off of what Mike McCarthy said at the Combine. I actually took it differently when he said that. I didn't take it as he was saying the Cowboys need to just generally run the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was talking more about specific situations. And I thought back
to the Green Bay game.
Yeah, I thought back to specific games where
his relationship.
Where the Cowboys, I think he might have looked at it and said, hey, I think there were situations this year where we should have been running the ball more than we were. Not necessarily just overall we need to run more, because by the way, they ran the ball plenty. Like they're one of the run heavier teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I didn't take it that way. Are you saying that you took it kind of as he's saying just holistically we got to run the ball more than we
currently run? I think to me that he was the divide. I think between him and Kellen Moore came in that day you guys were at Lambeau Field and they lost that game. That's where I felt like right then and there. If you want to pinpoint a spot where maybe McCarthy and Kellen Moore had their divide, it was that game right there. Because Mike McCarthy put his heart and soul into wanting to win that football game, and it didn't happen. And the next day we came on here and talked about, well, they could have done this, they could have ran it here, they could have protected the lead, da 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 da. I think that's where we saw the end of Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy's relationship.
Right, and that could fit what Mike was saying from the standpoint of you're trying to run up the scoreboard when you should be running the ball.
That's your point. I think that's a fib. I think he wants to run the ball better. is how I take it. And I also, the whole thing with, like Nick was talking about, I think it's a fib about Zeke being here. I think that's a fib. I think that's a football fib. I don't think there's any way that he can be here. You know, I think that they move on. They talk about, they'd like to have it. But I see this ending like it did for DeMarcus Ware and for Terrell Owens and for
pretty much everybody. Yeah, there's an expiration clock on being a player in the NFL.
Yeah, they talk about wanting to keep guys and stuff like that. But they're going. I agree with Nick. I believe they're going to move on from Zeke. I really, really do. I think these are things that you kind of look at and you say, well, they're telling us this, but in actuality, this, I think, is what's going to happen.
Yeah, I absolutely love Zeke, and I would personally like for him to stay here. But again, I just like all of you guys. I don't see a scenario where it just works out financially for the Cowboys. I do know that regardless of how much you want to throw the ball or not, you do need to establish the run. You need to create that balance. And we've seen it before when Dak needs that kind of help as well. And going back to Tony Pollard, whether he can be the starter or not, I agree with Nick on this one. Like, I personally do not see him just taking on the full load. And we saw it, just how well it worked, kind of balancing it out between the two types of running back just because of what each brings to the table and that the other doesn't necessarily do it as good. We saw how many times like you needed Zeke to be able to just go out there and block just those like nasty little runs, 1 yard runs, things like that, that Tony Pollard just physically doesn't have that type of ability. And just like that, Zeke can't run and escape the way that Pollard can right now. So it's just a tough balance, but I do think that they go into the draft. It does make me wonder, though, if they head into the draft just having Tony Pollard and Malik Davis, or if they just kind of sign somebody else to have them there. You know how sometimes they just sign to make it look like it's not like a top priority, and then they do still draft somebody. So I can see something happening, maybe like signing somebody that's not necessarily.
You can go trade for Derrick Henry if you want from Tennessee.
No, I'm not gonna talk about him. Stay away from that. But
we only talk about our guys, Brian.
Okay.
Until free agency opens up, and then you start talking about trades and deals.
Yeah, we'll stay away from that one. And just to be clear, this is like we are not the football side of the building.
No,
we are,
I'm sorry.
Just conjecture. This is just talk. We're not tampering.
No, we're not tampering.
Yeah, not tampering at
not
all.
Not tampering at all.
I did have this question, though, because you guys mentioned this. Nick, you mentioned it as well. Amber mentioned it about the running backs and him being kind of that starting role. Did you think in the game where it was him and Malik Davis that things functioned as you wanted them to function at and at optimal level for Tony when he had – I mean, Malik Davis was another back. Tony was the starter. Tony was the guy that was the primary back. Did you like that, or did you think there was still something missing in that game?
Well, the victory was missing in that game. I mean, that they lost.
Yeah.
And they lost. And not necessarily because of Pollard, okay. but I think it's all about running the ball when you want to and running the ball when you have to. And when you have to run the ball at the end of the game and you can't get that, I do think that there's part of that, like Amber said, that they complemented each other perfectly. I mean, Zeke scored 12 touchdowns, and most of them down there by the goal line. And so I don't think Pollard gets 12 more touchdowns if he's the guy doing it. He just doesn't. I mean, go look at the Washington games. He doesn't run against that. Not that many teams do. But, I mean, that they're not built that way. He's not built that way. He needs another back. And so that somebody else needs to compliment him, and it just needs to be at something less than $16 million a year. But I just feel like the role that Pollard has, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it by running him. I mean, he needs to maybe run the ball more, but not necessarily to the point of he's the starter, he gets the first two series, and then we'll see what happens. I think that they got to be creative with it.
And doing it every week. Because I remember there were certain games, and I'm like, okay, I've seen Pollard. I'm like... I can't remember exactly what game. Where like, you have maybe Zeke wasn't playing a whole game. I don't know if it was
missed
like
a couple of games. Yeah.
But I remember being like, okay, it wasn't terrible, but I don't feel confident that Pollard can do this week to week. So it's just one of those things that he's a talented guy, but I think it would reduce the spark that he has if he had to kind of.
He surely didn't do it against the Commanders.
No.
You know, that game. The two worst rushing games he had of the season were against the Commanders. And if you want to use that as your benchmark, the Commanders play great run defense.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not a lot of runners that are going to have.
So that's what I'm saying, though. If you're trying to say, well, listen, where was he productive? Against who was he productive? What style of defense was he productive against? And to your point, a defense that has a lot of physicality to it might not be the best thing for Tony Pollard to have to deal with, you know. So they need to think about other options there for sure.
Yeah, the game I was talking about was that Green Bay game. He had 22 carries for 115 yards and a touchdown. Malik Davis supplemented that with 5 carries for 38 yards, a 7.6 average. So, again, it wasn't the same balance as what you saw between him and Zeke. Mm-hmm. It was more, hey, we're putting the load on Tony. We'll let him get spelled by Malik Davis. And to your point, Amber, maybe he can. Maybe he can't be a guy that can sustain that for an entire 17-game season.
I mean, they didn't lose that game because of that.
They make one
stop on 4th and 9, not only did they win, they blow them out. So that's just kind of the way that game. But you also can look at it in the fourth quarter and say, all right, you have a lead.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways where you can kind of run the ball and that's just – and that you're right. That might be the game that he's looking at.
If you said, Brian, pinpoint a spot where you think there was the divide between the two, that was the one I would point to.
Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I think that's a fair thing. And that's again, why I assumed when Mike McCarthy said that he was talking specifically about games or moments in games more so than the full totality of running the ball throughout the season. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to jump into free agency. I'm going to run down this list of free agents. These guys are going to tell you whether they think they should be here or shouldn't be here. We'll do that when we come right back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
Registration is now open for 2023 Dallas Cowboys Youth Football and Cheer Camps presented by Invisalign. Use promo code SPRINGBREAK23 for $25 off. Camps on March 14th and 15th at AT&T Stadium. Visit DallasCowboys.com/camps.
Welcome back. Second segment of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment presented to you by Blockchain.com. Let us talk about free agency. As I said earlier in the show, next week, next Monday, will become the period will open where teams can start to talk to potential free agents. On Wednesday, March 15th at 3 p.m. Central, free agency will officially begin. Cowboys have a whole list of guys that are not – I mean, these were pretty – these were guys that contributed quite a bit to the Cowboys last year that will be free agents this year. We know they will be because the Cowboys have used the tag on Tony Pollard, which means all these other guys will have the ability to hit free agency unless the Cowboys do a deal with them before free agency begins. So we're going to go down the list. I got 3 options for you guys. I want you to give me one of these for each player. Is he a priority? You think the Cowboys, and I'm thinking from your perspective, not necessarily how you think the Cowboys play it, but from your perspective, is it a priority guy you need to re-sign? Is it a guy that's a nice to have? If you can make the deal work, then go for it. Or is it a guy that's no longer a fit? You're good with just moving on. All right, let's start first with Dalton Schultz.
I mean, I'm going to have a hard time saying anybody's a priority. So I don't know if I'll say that number one level for anybody. Nice to have. Yeah, nice to have. I wouldn't push anybody out the door because Leighton Van Der Esch proved that last year. That, you know, you think so, you think that's what his market is, or he thinks it, that's his market, and then it comes back and it's not, and then you're like, well, you know, here's a guy that Dak trusts, and he can, you know, he's going to throw the ball to him, and he'll catch it, and he's not going to make a lot of plays, but he'll make some. So it'd be a nice to have, but I mean, it would only have to be week two of free agency when his market, you know, and if that's the case, he's going to be salty or.
I kind of feel like with Dalton Schultz, he's in an interesting situation because he's a good player, but a really good tight end draft. Mm. And so to Nick's point, do you get a great deal of money being on the market when teams know that they could draft a tight end who has a similar skill sets? Mm. I think you could go through probably four rounds of draftable players and get a guys that have similar sets, athletes, you know, play well flexed or outside, catch the ball well, maybe not great blockers. He kind of falls into that mode where people could go, listen, do I get one of these guys in the fourth round, or do I give Dalton Schultz $10, $12 million? So to Nick's point, I could see somebody coming in and, you know, swooping in and grabbing him. But I also feel like there's a lot of guys that have very similar skill sets to him in this draft. So would he come back on a one-year kind of a thing? I think that's probably unrealistic, but it's an interesting thought.
I might draft the guy in last year's draft in the fourth round and see if that can work out, like a Ferguson.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Yeah.
No, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think it, to me personally, it changed the situation on how I view – him. I mean, he's still a talented player, but knowing that you got two guys, Hendershot and then Ferguson, and they both did pretty well. Honestly, I guess maybe my expectations were a lot lower and they just ended up playing better than I thought. But knowing that you had two guys that were able to get the job done as well and be, even at times, I guess it was the whole time when it was Cooper Rush, Schultz just completely disappeared, and the ball wasn't getting to him. But anyway, my point is that I feel that the Cowboys can make it work without him now. So that's where it's at right now. It's not like you got nobody behind him that you just have a bunch of question marks. You still have two guys, and that doesn't mean you wouldn't draft somebody too, but yeah, I just don't see it as a priority.
I think it was very telling. This was not a football fib. I don't think the owner and general manager told. You know, he started talking about Kelce in Kansas City and that having that kind of weapon. And when you got a guy that, you know, maybe they didn't think that of Dalton Schultz. You know, they feel like that, you know what, yeah, it's great when you can get a guy like this Kelce guy, you know, and stretch the field and do this and do that and be dynamic. You know, his thoughts, obviously, from the front office perspective is that Dalton Schultz wasn't that guy. You know, they, to Nick's point again about the, you know, that you see in a year what you have. And, you know, they probably look at that as like, you know what, we've got two young guys. We'll move on from this guy, and we got a whole draft that we can work with.
All right.
Yeah. I wouldn't move on from Schultz because of Ferguson, but I would because of Ferguson and Hendershot. Mm, Hendershot's the key there. Yeah. He's the one that's the wild card that you didn't expect.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can move on. And Ferguson's going to be franchised.
They might have
at some point. I mean, just look at the franchise tag the last 4 years. Yeah. It's been a fourth-round pick every year. So
it's just coming. That's in his future.
Yep.
They might be in a situation, too, where at 26, the best player on their board might be one of these tight ends. Which is, you know, it's people cringe to think about, but it might be to the vision of what the general manager was saying on that bus the other day.
Yeah, that's the point. For me, if you're going to use that high a pick, you better make sure he's the Kelce type.
Well,
he can't be, in my opinion, the Dalton Schultz type.
He's got to get on the field. He's got to be a guy that immediately gets on the field.
Right, but he also has to be a guy, in my opinion, that you can move around and do different things with. That becomes a nightmare for other teams to match up with. That's where it's worth it to make it a first-round pick.
The one thing this team has proven in their draft thoughts is they would rather have the first or the second best at a position than they would the fifth or sixth. You know, when we say, oh, they need a corner. Well, do they want the fifth corner or they want the second best guard in the draft?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's their mode is we'll take the first best, we'll take the best player, and then we'll work from there.
Yep.
And it works for them.
All right, let's move on to Terrence Steele. Nick?
Well, I think they're going to – I mean, that one, I guess I would say – I wouldn't expect him on your list. So, yeah, I would say that he's got to be a priority on that because he's a restricted free agent. I would probably give him the first-round tender, but
really?
I don't know. I would. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that I would, but they probably feel like with the second-round tender, you can get by with it.
The gamble they have here is if he wasn't hurt, you would probably first-round tender him because, again, you know, when you start to compare who's in the, you know, who's in the draft, you know, the tackle group, it's not as deep as it's been the last few years. But if he was – with him being injured and coming off an injury, I could see why they did the second round tender on him. I totally get it. I think the priority is to get him done. I don't think he's
that's going, where I want.
I don't think
that, yeah.
I don't think he's going to play on the tender tag. I don't. I think they're going to try and find a way to get this done. I would say then in that case he's a priority for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, even by signing him and getting something done with him, you still have other issues in the O-line, you know, even at the tackle position. So definitely get him back here. And he's a guy that, honestly, he's done everything you've wanted him to do. And maybe not at first in our perspective, but he's worked so hard and he's improved over and over. You know, he's trending upwards, and that's exactly what you look for in a guy.
I hope the growth continues with the new line coach because him and Joe Philbin clearly had a good connection.
Yep. All right. Connor McGovern.
Nice to have.
Don't I think they would like to have him back, but I think he's a nice to have. I don't think it's a priority.
Nah, he's got to see the market, and I think his agent will let that happen too. Yeah. You know, anybody that signs at this point,
he's going to be honest, he's going to be this year's Connor Williams. He's going to go to Miami and get a starting job and get too much money, and they're not going to be able to match that.
Well, fact is, if what they're saying about Tyron Smith, that they want him back and they want to have him in the building, if that's all true, Connor McGovern isn't even going to be a starter, you wouldn't think, because you would assume that means that Tyler Smith will be playing guard. So
maybe another sports football fib.
We'll see. You know, that's a part of right now.
He's been developed like you'd want him to. He had some injuries, but he's never going to be a guy when you're sitting there in the draft and you're like, well, we could take this guy right now. No one's going to be like, whoa, 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 we have McGovern. He's never going to be this guy that stopped. You're always going to try to get better.
I see it as one of those situations that if it's not McGovern, the Cowboys are still going to get a free agent kind of like that, mm-hmm. but from somewhere else. Yeah. And maybe they get it cheaper that way. I don't know. But I think it's going to be about the
same
thing.
You're going
to
sign someone else as McGovern?
It's a thin draft at guard. He might get some play. That's why I kind
of
feel
because of the draft. Yeah.
Just because of the draft, I kind of feel like veteran guy that could play center also. There's going to be a value. That's why I said he's this year's Connor Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why.
Cooper Rush.
Well,
there's a lot of silence here. I thought that would be one that you guys would be pretty quick to jump on.
For other reasons, I would make it a priority.
I know what your priority is.
I would think.
Spit it.
No,
spit it out.
I was talking about other stuff. No, I think he. No, I would. I'd bring him back. I would bring him back for, you know, if you can. I mean, because he's won games. He's won games for you. So he's probably got the best record of pretty much any backup quarterback, you know, in the league the last few years. So I can't imagine. I mean. And I think he works well with Dak. We talk about Dak having different voices, and he will have a different voice in some regards. But I think that Cooper Rush is a guy that works well with him, and they know how to win games with him. So I would.
I think he's a priority. I really do. And I say this in a way because he came in and was, you know, you mentioned it, won the games. You know, they had to adapt to him. They adapted the offense. They did what they, you know, everything they needed to do. You know, he kept him in the seat. We were all doom and glooming, and he won games. And so you're probably going to battle the Los Angeles Chargers on him. You know, where does that number come? But if you're Cooper Rush, you have a legitimate right to stand there and say, you need to pay me. You need to pay me to be a backup here. I saved your damn season last year, you know? And so I think he should be a priority because I don't know what the alternative is here.
The alternative probably is Will Grier.
Well, could be Will Grier.
And I don't
absolutely
know
but I've seen Cooper Rush win games. And
yeah.
I didn't believe that, but in this system, and maybe a new system will be different, but I would try and make him a priority for sure.
Yeah. I've been here where I've seen Brandon Whedon, Kellen Moore,
Matt Cassel.
Yeah. What's that other guy's name?
Ben DiNucci,
but the one that, oh my God, Mark Sanchez.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I forgot
so,
about Mark
so Sanchez. Point is, I've been here where I've seen enough backups not being able to do much when
Just one. Dak.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying, you know,
he became a starter. So
right. That's
different.
What I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
He was the backup. Yeah.
But
Tony?
True.
I mean, you want to go that far, Tony?
I see.
Okay. Point is.
Don't let him do that to AG.
Stop it. No, but it now it feels like when you do find somebody a backup, you need to hold on to that person because you haven't had much success at having like backups that can truly just be there and help you out. And what happened this year? So
win games.
Exactly. And yeah. So it just goes back to, I don't know what the money looks like, but if it works out, absolutely.
All right. We're going to take our final break. We'll come back. And we got a couple more offensive guys. Then we'll try to get over to the defensive side of the ball. We'll do it when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
Stay ready for your spring break adventures with Cowboys Nation Essentials. Visit your local pro shop or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience, and discover travel accessories, staycation must-haves, and more.
Welcome back. It is the final segment of The Break Live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Got more names for you guys, free agents. They just keep coming. Noah Brown. What do you do with Noah Brown?
Move on.
Probably.
You said you didn't have any of those, but you good with this one? Like, just doesn't fit anymore?
Well, I don't know who his real sponsor was, and I don't know if his sponsor's still here. I mean, I don't know if it's Jason was his sponsor or Kellen was his sponsor or both. I don't know. Yeah. But, I mean, he's had one, and he's been – or Dak. Dak's his sponsor. I mean, I don't know. But I'm just saying, I think – he's probably still going to count the minimum. I can't imagine – you know? Yeah. And so Noah Brown is fine if he's the fifth receiver. It's not okay if he's the second or third. And, you know, I don't, for some reason, it just kind of just pisses you off when it's third and eight and he's over the middle and there's double covered, or he's covered, and they throw it and he doesn't catch it. And you're like, even though he's made some plays, you're just like, is that who you have to force it to him?
You need Jalen Tolbert to grow up.
Yeah.
You need Jalen Tolbert. You need to push Jalen Tolbert out there and say, listen, sink or swim, here we go. We can't talk about other teams, right?
No, we can't talk
about so I had an idea, but I'm not going to talk about that.
I can assume what you're talking about. I know where you're going with
because,
that. But go ahead.
Because they'll admit they messed up. They'll admit this, that they messed up. So anyway, but think about that. And maybe it's something that you can do. But
you can talk about Odell being here, if Odell's going to be here.
Well, that to me, okay, real quick on that one. And no, get through your list. Another day on Odell.
Because actually, you're right. I do actually want to get to that in a longer. There's a more we can dive into that when we start talking about that. And next week will be an appropriate
time. We're running out of Wednesdays. I mean, like next Wednesday, I mean, it'll be in the middle of all.
And by the way, we still got all the composition stuff that we haven't finished. Like, we got a lot we got to do in the next several weeks.
I don't have much to say about that. It's the same as you guys said.
I got the memo. I did get the memo. I did read the memo. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Brian. T.Y. Hilton.
Listen 2-7 every day on the fan. We'll get that.
T.Y. Hilton. Now, like, he was an interesting one because he came in and he had some plays that were like, whoa, okay. Mm-hmm. But he's the age, and you know, as the season wore on, I don't know that you could say he was a reliable, regular contributor in that way. What do you think about T.Y. Hilton?
I'm moving on there. Again, you got Turpin. I'm trying to figure out ways to develop him a little bit better there. T.Y. Hilton did exactly what you needed him to do. I mean, I thought he would come. He made some really good early plays, helped you win a game, too, with some long plays, drew some pass interference calls. But, you know, I've got guys like Turpin. You know, maybe that Kellen Moore did not want to use Turpin. Let's see if Mike McCarthy will use him.
Yeah, I don't know where his T.Y. Hilton's mindset is. You know, he came in and admitted that he waited until the season was over for his kids to play sports and all that
stuff.
He helped
his bank account a little bit.
Yeah, so then he was like, okay, now I'm ready to help, and I'll sign with this team because you guys are having a good record and all that. And it worked. He did a nice job, and he helped some of the young guys. But I don't know. Is he wanting to do training camp and all that stuff? I would probably move on. He's probably going to be a rental player for another team, you know, at that same time of year.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of having guys that can just sprinkle things here and there occasionally. Those type of players, like it worked out last year towards the end of the season that you're struggling and, okay, let's bring someone in and that they can help in certain situations. And at least if they make one or two catches, that's going to just take the game to closer to where you win a game. But for this point of the year, that's not the type of guy I'm looking for. I need a guy that can give me everything that I need full, 100%, not just 20% or 10%.
I think, to me, I call those Band-Aid players. Most people don't wear Band-Aids unless you're like Derek Chivas from Missouri back in the day. Remember him?
Nelly.
Yeah.
Nelly. Right. Oh, look at Brian. Right. That's a good one.
Most people don't do that. You put a Band-Aid on when you need a Band-Aid.
Yeah. You don't just wear them for fashion.
And so I think when Nelly. You need a Band-Aid, you go for that. Yeah. Well, if you could sign him, you know, he's a free agent probably. Nelly. Did he play football?
I don't know. Why would you assume he did?
I feel like there's a movie.
He was in a movie.
Yeah, that's what
Wasn't
I mean.
Wasn't he in The Last Yard, I think it was?
Longest Yard.
Yeah.
I think he was in The Longest Yard.
He made plays. He's a playmaker. He wasn't Michael, you know, but he made some plays for Adam.
Sure, why not? All right, let's flip to the defense side of the ball. And actually, this is interesting because there are five names, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but there are five names here that you could make an argument that any one of the fives, for whatever purposes you want, is an important part of what the Cowboys did last year. So I'm going to throw the five names out there, and I want you guys to run through them and tell me priority, let them walk, or nice to haves. Leighton Vander Esch, Donovan Wilson, Jonathan Hankins, Carlos Watkins, and Anthony Brown.
Okay, everybody but Anthony Brown on that list for me is a like to have back kind of guy.
Not priority, just like to have.
Like to have back on those guys. I would absolutely Donovan Wilson to me, and you could talk to people in the organization. The coaching staff absolutely loves Donovan Wilson, but we're paying 2006 prices for safeties here. You know, so that I don't think that's going to work out. I think Donovan Wilson again, a pretty deep safety draft. We'll see if he could circle back. But I think he's asking for a lot more than the Cowboys are willing to pay. But I'd love to have him back. Him everybody that you mentioned in that pocket of people, with the exception of Anthony Brown, I was really wrong about him.
Yeah, Anthony Brown, you're putting him where? Like
he was not playing well, and so I'm going to try and get better at corner there. I'm going to try.
Especially with the injury, coming off the injury he's got. Nice to have for all of them. With Donovan Wilson, I have to just go off of Dan Quinn and say, all right, you did it with Jayron Kearse. You did it with Donovan Wilson. You're going to have to do it again. This is why we're paying you what we're paying you, and you work your magic on another safety that you have the vision for. Unless he just wants to play here, but he's going to probably want more money.
He wants a lot more money. The whispers coming out of Indianapolis is they're not even close on this.
And that's fine. I mean, like you would probably just move on unless they say, all right, you've got Malik Hooker, you got Jayron Kearse, you're going to have to find some other safeties. You got some other young safeties, too, you like, and McQuamu and stuff like that. I think you move on there if it doesn't work.
I'm interested to see how the draft is split as far as, like, is it more on offense or defense or kind of half and half?
You can get from on your safeties from the second round through the fifth round, there's probably 10 names, and there's in that each position, whether it's a strong safety or a free safety. So it's a good pocket from rounds two through, say, rounds five, where you can grab a safety that has not this somewhat, maybe at the top, more of a similar skill set to Wilson. As you get down to the bottom, it's more guys that cover is what you got in the draft. So there's a pocket of safeties. It's not like it's like the guard group, I think, is really narrow to what you can get. I think the safety stretches a little bit more if you want to let him walk.
Question. I know we have to end the show, but real quick. You know how we always talk about how the Cowboys don't necessarily make splash in free agency and they typically sign their own, but would a signing like Donovan Wilson, would you consider that, they made a splash?
They will have. It sounds like they may have to because of the amount of money he's asking. And quite frankly, the part that I think should be considered a little bit more with Donovan Wilson, to me, I don't even look at him as just a safety. Outside of Micah, give me another defensive player that made more plays for this defense last season. And I'm talking as just a playmaker. He's a guy that I think without him, you're not just missing a safety. You're missing a guy who made plays.
Yeah.
And I don't know, do you have somebody that's going to fill in that role? Is Jayron Kearse going to fill in that role of being a playmaker, not just a good safety, but a playmaker? That's why I think
Kearse
maybe think about him a little bit more as – should there be a little more priority on trying to sign him?
Kearse was just so banged up, but he played through. The wild card here is Marquise Bell. That's the one that they've kind of sneaky put him in situations to maybe that he could be the Donovan Wilson guy. We'll see.
And I think, look, I don't want them to break the bank on Donovan Wilson. Let's be clear. I'm not saying go out and pay him, make him the highest paid safety. If that's what he's asking, then, hey, thank you for what you did. We'll have to move on. All I'm saying is he's one of those guys I look at the upper end of I'd like to have back because I think he provides so much from the standpoint of a playmaker for this defense.
I would take him over if you said you were going to spend money on the guard. If you were going to spend money on Connor McGovern, I would say I would rather have Donovan Wilson than Connor McGovern.
And
if you're talking about starters.
Yeah. Yeah. And with Leighton, real quick, I think it starts with Micah, like anything does. Figure out what you're going to do there. If you're going to play him the way you still play him, where he does a little bit of both, then maybe not. Who, Micah?
When you got to talk.
Well, next year, but I'm just saying, I'm talking about rushing the passer. If he's going to be more of a pass rusher, then you really do need some linebackers here. So, and I would go that route.
Hello, Jabril Cox, and hello, Clark, and hello, everybody. Harper.
I actually think, too, there's going to be, I have a feeling there's going to be more veteran linebackers available in free agency.
Sure.
And as a part of that may drive Leighton's value down a bit. You might be able to bring him back for a number that
his
makes injury sense because
history
there's so
too.
Many options out there.
Yeah. His injury history. Yeah, people might have had him off the board when he came out. They still might feel the same way.
All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back next week. Free agency will start. Man, we get into the fun of the offseason. We'll do that next week. Till then, for Nick Eaton, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!